Forever Dog.
Space, the final frontier. These are the voyages of the Starship Enterprise. Its continuing mission to explore strange new worlds, to seek out new life and new civilizations, to boldly go where no one has gone before.
Yeah, this is Treks in the City with Alice Wetterlin and Veronica Osorio.
Presente.
Don't understand what you're saying. I don't speak Spanish.
Hola, estoy presente.
Nope, still don't get it. Anyway, happy to be here today on this bright and sunny Canadian summer day,
I guess. And Los Angeles summer.
And Los Angeles. We've got a great guest today, but first, Veronica, how are you doing?
Estoy super bien, gracias. ¿Y tú, cómo estás?
I am pretty sure I don't know what you're saying. All right, guys. All right, this is getting long. Welcome to Treks in the City.
You actually do know.
I know, that's really difficult because I want to answer you.
The worst part about this bit is
the dumbass bit.
Yeah.
Hi, Alice. How are you?
Hi, I'm fine. It's my first day of out of quarantine, so.
Woo! What does that mean?
Well, I've been in self-isolation for 2 weeks in a furnished living situation in Canada. And the first time I got to leave was today. And I'm just instantly pissed at everybody. I went back into my house and I was like, fuck everybody. Fuck this shit. So
why were you pissed?
I'll talk about it once. Let's get our guest in here. We don't want to waste what Bust Magazine calls comedy gold. Our guest is here, and I'm so excited to have her. I've known her for a long time. I've been an admirer of her stand-up. You know her from The Daily Show and also her brand new podcast, That Black Ass Show, on the Starburns Network, which is coming every Wednesday. And may I say, Wednesday is a podcast wasteland. We need a new Wednesday podcast. Please welcome to the stage as I get the fucking thing ready. Okay, please welcome Dulce Sloan.
Hello, friends.
Hello, my darling.
Welcome.
Dulce. Where are you?
I am on my friend's roof in Harlem. We literally just got in from Ocean City. We went for Rosebud Baker's Bachelorette.
That's crazy. Do you know that Rosebud is marrying my ex-husband?
I am fully aware of that.
Wait.
I don't know. The way you said it makes me think there's been a lot of, okay. Well,
I knew she was getting married, and then I knew he had an ex-wife, and then they would say it was Alice Wetterlin, and I was like, oh, cool. And then eventually clicked, and I was like, oh, I'm doing her podcast on Monday. It took a long time for me to connect those dots, even though I know you and I know them. And it just one day it was like, oh, yeah, I do know her, because it was just a disconnect.
Yeah, I could not be more pleased and happy with them being their impending nuptials. People after Andy and I got divorced, it was like people would say a year or two after, they'd be like, is it cool if we book you guys on the same show? And like Andy and I would be like texting each other. Like we became friends pretty quick after the divorce. So it wasn't ever, you know, but people still think there's drama, mostly because he makes fun of me on stage.
Well, drama's more fun than it was amicable and they're friends.
God, that's so true.
People need that.
I've been trying to make the piece fun, and it's just not going to be that.
It's not. It's never going to be fun. I want the drama.
Okay. Well, I'm really pissed about it, guys. I don't like Rosebud. I don't want them to get married. How about that? Take that and run with it. So I do like Rosebud, but
Rosebud's great.
I have to confess I don't know her very well because, of course, different scenes, different cities. There's actually, you know, more than three female comedians in the world. So.
No. What?
Wait.
How was the bachelorette party?
It was really fun. It was me and Makala and PD Debrew. And as Makala Lee, PD Debrew, and Alex English and Rosebud, and we went to the beach and we went on jet skis.
Oh my god.
And we went to this really like really good crab place, but like it was just a hang. Rosebud got us all like these were like great night dresses from Walmart, and I'm a huge fan of a sleep dress, a sleeping gown, a scenario. And it was really fun. Makala cooked a lot. So we had like one big dinner last night after we went to jet skis at his crab place called On the Bay. So we had a lot of fun. We just hang out. We had to do face masks. I think Makala got, I think like a couple people got sunburned. I didn't get sunburned because, you know, I am the black. we can get it, though. I think I've probably had it three times. But it never hurts. You just see like peeling and you're like, I'm a snake. But I've never had this. Like, I think I've had like one time under my eyes, maybe where it hurt.
Oh, but, under your eyes?
Delicate eye skin. That's a delicate skin.
But I think because it was like we went swimming at like a friend of mine, her mom worked at a hotel and they had the roughest towels. I was like, this is a nice hotel. Y'all need to invest in fabric softener. And I think at the, by the end of the, because you always wipe your face when you're swimming.
Oh my God.
And at the end of the day, I think all of us were just like raw. And I was like, I'm too young to exfoliate, which has happened to me.
Yeah.
But other than that, if I get sunburned, I don't know that I had it. So, but I was trying to come back. Black, 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 black. I got some color. I got some color.
Yeah.
I'm not as dark as I wanted to get, but, you know, you never know.
Are you able to, like, get your shade, your tone up in just one beach trip? Or do you need to do, like, 3-4 days?
I can do about, like, two. If I do, like, a good 2-3 days, I'll get, like, real dark. But I think, like, with me, I just tan so fast.
You tan fast, okay.
I tan fast, but then it doesn't always stay. So it'll tan real quick, and then it'll kind of, like, because I'll turn, like,
fade away.
Like all the red in my skin comes out. And then, like, the red will come up, because I have, like, a lot of red undertones. That's why I have a hard time picking out makeup. So I have, like, the red undertones will come up, and then if it stays, then I turn brown.
But I now want to only talk about makeup because we.
I know you said red undertones, and I was like,
we were like, okay. I just started running through in my head the different companies. I'm like, well, Mac has a really good like dark skin palette for like corrective color. I'm just like, all I'm doing for 2 weeks, right, is like at home, so I'm just doing YouTube tutorials and stuff, and like learning all about. I learned how to do a Bella Hadid eye.
Oh, so like a cat eye probably?
Yeah, like, but like so that it looks like you contour your eye so that it looks like you have that eye shape. It's bizarre. It's crazy. I definitely look like I've had plastic surgery a little bit, which I don't know. I kind of like it.
I mean, it's all like stage trick drag queen makeup is what everyone's doing right now.
Yes, it is.
Like, I don't understand why a regular – like like if you have like one of those I got one of those Kevin O'Cone makeup books from back in the day. And so contouring is not a new thing. It's just the level of contouring.
It's like mass marketed now.
It's
a drag queen thing that has hit the mainstream.
Yeah, it's like a drag queen thing that hits the mainstream, but it's crazy because it's just like, you see all these girls with this heavy contour and it's like,
yeah, you don't need
to soften their features.
I think it's sort of freeing though that like, if you don't, you go around your whole life with the same face shape. So I think people are like, cool, I just can have a different face shape today. That's how I treat it. It's like, I want a weak jaw today.
Well, like, I think the coolest thing about it is just like, you can completely change the shape of your nose.
Yeah.
With just like, a little dark powder. And it's just like, I've got a whole new nose.
Whole this new is crazy. Nose.
Whole new nose.
You should Google
new
nose. Korean whole new nose tip. They have
Korean?
Like, Korean, like from Korea?
Yeah.
Korea. A nose tip. So, like, it's already, like, I've seen them, like, when they're, like, look so cute. You know those videos? They're, like, And then they're with, like, a thing, they scrape their nose off like this.
Yes, they have that makeup that they fill in to make it look like that their nose is a completely different shape.
Different bridge.
And they'll make a different bridge. And it's just, like, it's this putty that they put in. It's literally a putty that they put in, and it's special effects makeup, and it completely changes the bridge of their nose, and then they do the tape, because, like,
do this thing?
Yeah, the eyelid surgery is very popular in South Korea, and so there's literally a tape that they'll put in to make it look like that they have the double lid.
Yeah.
Yeah. They do like the, they do like a tape here to like make this deeper. This like
I'm gonna do this canal. I'm gonna do like a makeup tutorial that's like, so a lot of people have been asking how I do my Gerard Depardieu nose.
Oh, that's the one everyone's looking for.
Gerard Depardieu, like giant bulbous nose. Because
that's the one.
Yeah.
If you can contour that into a very thin little girl nose.
No, no, I'm going full Gerard Depardieu. I'm talking green card. So I want you to talk about, if you don't mind, will you describe your new podcast and how you came up with the amazing idea of going over Black TV shows and kind of discussing them?
So my new podcast is called That Black Ass Show. I was having a meeting with Starburns about like different podcast ideas, and a producer at Starburns, Judith Carbo, she presented me with the idea, and I was like, yep, sounds great. I love it. Let's do it. So it was, she was saying it would be interesting to talk to Black creatives about the Black TV shows that influenced them and the ones that they loved.
I love it.
And so I was like, yeah, run it. Let's go. And the thing that I came up with was the Black Ass Confession that we do in every episode. So the Black Ass Confession is my guest, and I also have to answer this question about a Black movie or TV show they haven't seen or a Black thing they cannot do. Mine is always, my example is always, I have never seen Baby Boy or Bebe's Kids, and I don't know how to play spades. So.
You don't know. Spades? I don't know how to play spades either. Is that like hearts? All right. Well.
See, exactly. So it's a big deal in the Black community to play this particular card game. And I've never, because the thing about spades is like nobody ever like kind of like, I don't know if you just pick it up or somebody teaches you. I don't know how it works, but you just, you just go to multiple barbecues and someone's playing it, and then you hope an argument doesn't start.
Is there money?
There can be. Mm. But usually just like you, basically with the whole point of the, from what I can tell of what I have surmised from the little bit of teaching that I've had, is that you have to get a certain number of books. So basically there's four people that play and their partners. And then you try to, and you and your partner try to win as many hands as possible. And so before the game, once you get your hand, you predict how many hands you'll think you're going to win.
Oh my God.
And then you put that up against how many hands you actually win. And that's how you dictate the scoring.
It could be a great game show.
It could.
Celebrity spades.
Oh my God, that'd be so hilarious. You just do it with giant cards. Or you could do it like Alice in Wonderland, where it's just people as cards. So it's just 52 people standing there with card outfits on, all socially distanced, of course. And just make it a giant human. Like when they tried to make Fruit Ninja a game, or when they tried to make Candy Crush a game. Same thing. Just a giant card game that you stand in, and hopefully your uncle doesn't cuss somebody out.
I hope we can send you back to Starburns with some more pitch ideas for shows now, because that would be great. I'd love to. And the cool thing about this idea is there's so much Black TV that there's like a wealth of stuff that like I grew up on a different world, and like I remember being like absolutely when you're you're a preteen or whatever, and like college kids are like the number one coolest thing you can imagine.
Yes.
So my whole childhood, I was like looking up to like, I was like, oh my God, like Denise and Whitley, and like they're like, and I was like, college is going to be exactly like this. My college is going to be just exact. I'm going to have so much time.
At a Black college. I hear you.
Be at a Black college and just be with all my friends who are Black, and I'm Black too. And then my mom was like, well, no. But
you just Marissa Tomei in the first season of A Different World, when no one could figure out why.
That's right.
There was a white girl at this Black college. And I just remember watching it going, what is it? I mean, it does happen, because there was a, my friend graduated from Morehouse, I think in like 2008. Mm-hmm. And historically Black college, Martin Luther King graduated from there. as well as Spike Lee and Samuel L. Jackson and a lot of people. And the year he graduated from college, there was a white valedictorian.
What?
And all of the alums were pissed. Pissed.
The white valedictorian.
At a historically black college university. Yeah.
Her speech had to be in with like, no, I'm sorry. This is mostly going to be me apologizing for being up here. Yeah, no, I don't know why this happened either.
Right. So it's like a historically black men's college. And then it's,
hi,
you know, Brian is valedictorian. It's just
this
like,
this is awkward.
How did, but it's like they get a lot of scholarships because they're historically, like I went to predominantly white college and I went to school for free. So an HBCU would have been great, but I would have had so many student loans.
Mm.
So because it's just, you can't get a minority scholarship as a black person in a black school. If that's not how that works. So I am now the majority at the school. So I went to the school that gave me the most money. And it was a school where my freshman year, all the black girls could sit at the same lunch table. And my sophomore year. And was my junior year.
You're like, it's a historically black lunch table. You're like, hello, here we go.
Really?
That's amazing. That's what we should have done. Historically black. I mean, what I'm really waiting for is that is a historically black online college is what we're really hoping for.
Oh, no. It's going to happen.
That is going to happen.
I'm so excited about my the historically black online college that I'm going to start.
So this is a historically Star Trek show.
Yes, I've been wanting to do this for a while. I'm such a huge Star Trek fan.
Oh, my God. Amazing.
About to ask you.
I grew up watching Next Generation. Deep Space Nine is my favorite because I think that when they talk about like black fathers on TV, no one ever talks about Captain Sisko.
Mm-hmm.
No one ever talks about Captain Sisko from Deep Space Nine.
Mm-hmm.
Also, I think Deep Space Nine is my favorite. I think it's my favorite show from all of the Star Trek TV shows. Mm-hmm. Like out of the original series, Next Generation, Voyager, Enterprise, all of them. Because that was the first time that the franchise ever did the long, like
the serialized,
as opposed to everything is handled this episode, as opposed to the to be continued.
Right.
So I really loved the serialized storytelling of it. And you got to see so much of the Kleons. And the goal of my life is to be a Kleon in a Star Trek something.
Amazing.
It's the dream of my life. And not these new Kleons from Discovery or not the JJ.
I was going to ask you. Yeah.
I hate them. I hate
you
them.
You do?
I hate them. I hate the new Kleons. Quit fucking with them. We already established this current trend. They were black people with great hair in space. They all about some honor and, you know, and women had positions of power. Like, they look like the aliens from the movie Alien. Like, I hated it.
I think it's one thing is disappointing to lose is the like female Klingon costume where the breastplate
is out
exposed.
That's one of the main reasons I want it. Like the Baylor
boob
sisters.
Sweat.
Main vulnerable area for a woman and for a person.
But also it gets exposed. Rid of, think about how comfortable it is when you're around all these machines. It's got to be hot, right? So you've got all this boob sweat and it's like an outlet for the boob sweat.
Yeah,
honestly, as someone with, but there was like a little armor piece in between. It just gave you a little bit of the, a little bit of cleave. But there was also we're still going to protect the sternum. Mm-hmm. but yeah, like the Baylor sisters, like the sisters, like they were just so ridiculous.
Yeah.
They were so against, they thought like Ferengi, where it was just like, we're all about money. We don't care about honor. We're trying to get paid. And it's just like, what? And then just going around your house yelling Duras is pretty fun. Gowron's eyes, always great. So, yeah. General Martok with his just one eye. Yeah.
It's very refreshing to have somebody who knows what they're talking about on this show. Not that we don't love our guests who are newbies.
Right.
This show is all about welcoming people into the Star Trek universe and not being exclusive and not being like, oh, we're a bunch of nerds and you have to know everything about, you know, the canon or whatever. But it's really cool to have somebody who has like already invested in this. So you watched all that, you've seen Next Gen before. We chose Next Gen because if we're going to be talking to people who've never seen the show before, Next Gen is a great way in, right? Because it's not
it is.
it's episodic. Everybody's going to be, you know,
it's Patrick
you're not going to have to see.
Let's face it. Like, it's Patrick Stewart.
He's due.
Like, it's just, it's doable. I mean, not that the other captains are not, because I do feel like both Sisko and Janeway are, like, appealing.
I could never get down with Janeway. I tried to watch that show, but Captain Janeway always sounded like somebody was slowly shaking her.
Right. Okay, I heard that. I've heard that before, yeah.
And I'm just like, I can't, like, I would love a female captain, but it's just like, I can't respect her authority when she always...
Stop shaking me.
Right? I do like her voice.
She's trembling. And I was like, what is... like, I'm not going to listen to you. I'm not... Why would Cap... No! I wouldn't let this girl handle a turbo lift. Why the fuck? I couldn't do it. I tried. And then Enterprise, I was like, all right, Scott Bakula, you lost me.
Yeah.
Like, I just couldn't get down.
I haven't seen Enterprise. So that's my
confession.
I
didn't want to. And I watched some of Discovery. I watched the first season. The first season was interesting, but... Mm-hmm. When they messed with the Kleons and they just completely just changed, like, their history. No one's talking about honor. No one's talking about Stovacor. And I was like, this is not what I signed up for.
They really did. Yeah. You wonder if, like, Stovacor is something that came along. How does this people, if you go back in time, have less religion and have less belief in, like, a life after death? Like, that doesn't make sense at all. But I think that's really interesting that you say that, because I've been, like, really obsessed with the way that I feel like for sure the original series and Next Gen to a certain extent treats Worf like he's not, like, I just don't understand why the Klingons don't have more of a developed philosophy besides, like, we like to hurt people and get hurt.
Like, well, it's like, we're down to fight. We're always down to fight. We're not playing these games with y'all. It's, we're not about money. We're not Ferengi. It's, we'll fight to the death, you know. But I always like the fact that, you know, it's a woman could carry on a house. A woman could carry on the name. And they always touch on it just a little bit. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And they never, but like the honor of your house. I mean, it's old school thinking. But I understand, you know, that's just one race's way of viewing the world. I was always interested when Star Trek, where everything, because I think here we think of everything like region or country. And when you get to the Star Trek, it's like, it's your whole planet. Like, y'all are all the humans. We're doing whole planets here.
Yeah. They had to get it together and represent, like, in a larger scale.
Mm-hmm. Well, for instance, like, civil war in Star Trek Next Gen refers to a war within an entire race of people, an entire species, essentially.
The human civil war.
Exactly. Like, the Federation could have its own civil war, which is, like, in Earth terminology, civil wars happen within only the bounds of a country.
Right.
And then they extend it out to be like, you wouldn't say like a southern, the southern tip of Korok Trog is having a civil war.
Right. It's like that whole planet had one. And then like when you, and I think I like Deep Space Nine because it was, you know, the fact that where it comes in at the very beginning, it's the only series where the leader, where the commander of the ship is not a captain, mm-hmm. and becomes a captain while the series is happening.
Yeah.
And also it's like you learn so much about the Ferengi and the Bajorans, and you learn mm-hmm. about the focus is less on the humanoid groups, like the Earth, you know, the Earth humans mm-hmm. groups, and it's more about the customs mm-hmm. and the lives of the other races mm-hmm. on the ship, the fact that you've taken over a Cardassian outpost. And then everything that happened with the Bajorans, who my brother likes to call the Space Jews.
But why the Space Jews, the Bajorans? I love this, by the way, because they're so religious.
I think of it like in World War II terms. Mm-hmm. So based on what the Cardassians did to the Bajorans, mm-hmm. I think of the Cardassians as like World War II Germans.
Nazis, yeah.
Right. And then because that's kind of how they, like, they came over, they took over, they enslaved them, they murdered them. So if you look at the history of what happened to them, it very much parallels Earth historical events. So, because my brother said it, and I was like, no. And then I thought about it, and I was like, oh, yes. Oh, no.
What do you think about the Bajorans in terms of all the, like, their religious elements and stuff?
I do love that. Well, I do love in the first episode, Sisko becomes a prophet, which pisses off Kai Wynn, the emissary, which pisses off Kai Wynn because she was like, bitch, you know how long I've been working? And them prophets, they never talked to me. And then he just got here. And now they just talking to him. He just got here. I've been doing this my whole life. This human just rolls up. And now he's talking to the prophets. He's having visions. This is disrespectful.
Baseball guy.
Yeah.
He's having
so
visions.
Kai Wynn hated him day one. And then when she partners with Gul Dukat, you're like, oh, yeah, she mad. She's hot mad. Like, and then, okay, this might sound crazy, but the actor who played Gul Dukat, look, when they made him a Bajoran, I was like, I don't want any of this. I so much prefer you in Cardassian makeup.
Oh, yeah.
Who thought that this was something we wanted at all? I was not a fan. I was like, please put him in that snake skin because this is not... I'm not here for
it. Yeah, it's better for his bone structure and his coloring.
I mean, truly. Like, you're giving me, not to be disrespectful, not to be rude. And then, you know, but my favorite thing about that is always that in real life, the actress, I don't know if her first name is Nana, I don't know how to pronounce it, but who played...
Nana Visitor?
Yeah.
Kira Nerys? Yeah.
Yeah, Kira Nerys has a baby in real life from the doctor.
Yes, they are Bashir
and in real life. So you know when they have the shuttlecraft accident, when Keiko's supposed to be pregnant, they get in the shuttlecraft accident, and they're like, since Keiko was injured, we had to transfer the baby into Kira Nerys. That was actually a way to build her real life pregnancy into the storyline.
Because what episode is this? Is this like halfway through, right?
I think it's like halfway through. And it was interesting because when she was about to when she was about to go into labor, it was a point of contention. And there was like she had her boyfriend there and then Chief O'Brien was trying to be there and Keiko was trying to be there. She's like, if you're in here making all of this noise, all of this, I can't have this baby because the Bajorans have their baby. It has to be quiet and they don't have any pain in childbirth.
Oh,
but
amazing.
They need like peace and serenity in the room. And she had to kick everybody out. She's like, if you want me to have to give birth to this human baby, you have to get the hell out of this room. So, yeah.
Five.
Right. And then Jadzia Dax, her Worf, because, like, me and Sean White wanted to go to Comic-Con or Dragon Con, and we were going to do Jadzia and Worf's wedding. Mm-hmm. But I was going to be Worf, and he was going to be Jadzia.
Very good. Yeah, that's a classic move. Yeah, classic move. We saw a lot of that kind of play at the con, where gender roles would be switched in couples. We went to one con in Vegas pre-COVID, and we basically ruined our shot to get LeVar Burton on the show because we accosted him in the line to get our autograph copies of headshots. And
he
was like, no. Because I had met him outside of Comic-Con at Earwolf, and it was great. It went great. He was like so into it. He was like, I love this idea. Yeah, I want to call you guys. Like, we'll be on. And then I was like, I saw him at Comic-Con and I was like, remember me? And he's like, duh.
Too much. He's already overstimulated by the people.
Way overstimulated. Very
I
bad
was
move.
Trying to go to the Star Trek convention in Vegas when I think it was like the 30th anniversary of Next Generation.
Mm-hmm. That's
and,
the one we went to. Yeah.
Yeah.
And I didn't have, hard. And I don't think I'd known you yet. So I didn't have anybody to go to. And I was like, I cannot go to a whole Star Trek convention by myself.
That's what
oh
I
my God.
Think.
You shouldn't.
And
I should have just went.
Just go. I know.
I should just
we
go.
Have seen, I knew I you then. We would have seen each other. I knew you then.
We were running around the hallways being like, oh, my God. Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Wait, what year was that?
Screaming.
2017, I want to say.
Yeah. Yeah, I was still living in L.A. But the problem is it was like, I'm trying to go. And I was like, oh, who can I go with? And then, of course, I booked a show. And like, I think I had to go to do like a college or something. And I was like,
well, you got to do a college.
You got to
work. Now, as we know, no more college. So
no more.
17.
I had to do a Zoom college show the other day. And I was like,
you did?
Yes.
I've been trying to see if I can get one of those.
It was like a Q&A. It wasn't stand up. Cause I was like, I didn't do any Zoom comedy shows. Not a single one. No, I was talking to a friend of mine about it. And he was like, I can't do a Zoom comedy show. He's like, I can't bomb in the comfort of my own home. And then now I live with this bomb. Like me and this, he's like, I just got to wake up and make this bomb breakfast. He's like, I'm not doing this. So I was like, you're absolutely right. I'm not doing any of these shows. Plus I needed the audience. I couldn't do it. But yeah. I know I'm being distracting. I'm sorry. But I generate my own
audience like, noises though. So we watched this episode. It's season 7. We're already in season 7. Jesus Christ.
Season 7, episode 2.
And liaisons. So the premise of the episode is a diplomatic mission takes a harrowing turn for Captain Picard. Meanwhile, two ambassadors make life difficult aboard the Enterprise. And so we open with Worf basically complaining because he doesn't not want to do.
Also, Worf being very unhappy about his formal dress.
Yeah, he doesn't like it. And it's of course, so Riker funny. Just completely
trolls him. So late in the seasons. So late in the show for Worf to complain about this one thing from the military academy he's a part of as a lonely Klingon.
It's like he's gotten out of it for so long, I think.
I guess so. He just needs to be cranky.
Enter, enter.
It's like a pageant.
Worf, they're going to be here any minute.
I'm having problems.
Stop yelling.
If I didn't know you better, I'd say that you were procrastinating.
Klingons do not procrastinate. It is a tactical delay.
You have to spend about 5 minutes greeting the Yarns when they get here and maybe an hour making small talk at this reception. I'm the one who has to escort them around the ship for the next 3 days.
I do not enjoy these diplomatic situations.
It's all part of being in Starfleet. There.
I do not see why it is necessary to wear these ridiculous uniforms.
Protocol.
They look like dresses.
That is an incredibly outmoded and sexist attitude. I'm surprised at you.
Oh?
Besides, you look good in a dress.
He's hitting on him. Hitting on him. He's hitting on him hard.
I wonder why he didn't just wear his regular, like the regular metallic sash that he usually wears.
Why he has
wears.
To wear this pageant sash.
I guess it doesn't fit over his dress. I don't know.
He likes a metallic. It's the weight of it. You know, this one's too lightweight for him. It's probably just like getting all fussy, you know. Worf definitely doesn't like fussy shit.
No, I might have to fight somebody.
There will be a reception held in your honor when you will meet the rest of my senior staff. I, of course, shall be on my way to your homeworld. But I shall be leaving you in the safe hands of my most experienced officers. Lieutenant Worf of the Klingon Empire is my head of security. He will be in charge of your safety while you're on board. Counselor Deanna Troy of the planet Beta Zed will be your personal liaison officer, Ambassador Loquel.
Ambassador, it's an honor to meet you. Would you like to see your quarters before we attend the reception?
Please. Ambassador Byleth, this is Commander William Riker, my first officer from the planet Earth. He has been assigned to you.
I want this one.
Well, Commander Riker is a skilled diplomat with wide experience in interspecies contact.
I'm sure, but I have decided. I want this Lieutenant Worf.
Well, that will be just fine. Mr. Worf?
He's like, no.
Yes.
No.
Yes, Ambassador, it would be my pleasure.
Yes, enough of that. Show me to my quarters.
Already an asshole.
Already rude.
So that is not going to be great for Worf. And then if you zoom out, it's a tunic. It's not a dress. That would be a short dress.
I mean, we've seen girls out. We've seen folks living their best lives. Just
lampshading.
Just giving you a hint of a lower butt cheek.
Like, that's the first thing I always check out in guys, like their butts. I just want to know they can flaunt it.
Mm-hmm. If they have
I'm a
tight,
butt person.
You're a butt
I've
person.
Only recently started looking at men's butts. I've always been like a shoulder, arms, chest situation. I don't require an ab, because sometimes it's just like when they're too. When sometimes they're just too, like when dudes are too in shape, I'm like, oh, you're just going to be heavy.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And then your abs are just hard. Yeah. And I'm a soft lady. So it's like, I don't know.
Yeah.
It's a bit much.
It's like doing it with a machine.
Yeah, like it's just this box. And then like they're really muscular. They're just so much heavier. Mm-hmm. It's just like, oh, I breathe from my diaphragm.
Yeah.
Kill me. But yeah, he just comes out. Also, like whenever I think about like the uniforms on Next Generation, I'm just like, if you are not a rail thin actor, you are never getting in any of these uniforms. That's why I like and I think I like season one Commander Riker, and then I think like season seven Commander Riker. Mm-hmm. But it's just like, oh, he filled out because he didn't gain weight. He just filled out. He's got that man meat.
Slightly thicker, like a dad bod moment.
Not even dad bod. It's just like, oh, I'm getting a consistent check. Ooh. I'm going to invest in some protein shakes. I might start eating meat again. Like, yeah, it's definitely, it's great. And then I like that they got Deanna Troi out of that weird goddess outfit that they had her mm-hmm. in, where yeah. it was just like the very low, wide neckline.
The purple one.
And then like, oh, the
asymmetrical, yeah.
Or that
the
weird,
turquoise?
Like, the turquoise, where it was just, I was like, y'all can't, your crafty must be just carrot sticks. Like, there's way.
I know.
That you could eat in any of those outfits.
And it was a unitard, so she can't even gain any vagina weight, which she talks as we about, all know.
She talks about wearing a corset, like, the entire time, because she's supposed to, like, underwear is perfect at the time in the future. So she's supposed to wear this, like, full structure under
like
her
a
dress
Spanx.
So that you can't see any kind of, like, any kind of shapes.
Yeah, I've been noticed that, and I was like, because you would see her on certain episodes, I'm like, oh, she definitely has, like, a corset or a shaper on. But it's like the smoothest corset that you've ever seen. I'm like, is it built into her outfit? Also, y'all didn't stop going to the bathroom in the future. So
how
do you get out of this thing?
It's a catheter 24/7.
It has to be.
It's a boot catheter situation.
But, yeah, it's like when that first couple moments, I was just like, we walked up and said, I want this one. I was like, okay, what we're not doing out here in space. Is rolling up on me talking about, I want this one. What? I'm not a puppy in a store.
I know, it's
rude,
not,
man.
You don't get to pick.
Ugh.
Like, it's so rude. And their whole, and then immediately you're like, okay, so he's obsessed with Klingons, or like he has a crush on Klingons. Like, what is his, he's like a Klingon-ophile or something. But this culture apparently doesn't really know much about the rest of the, this is like their first contact. So just why? Like, why? Just based on looks.
Well, is it because it's like, I think they've got a forehead situation.
Maybe.
Worf has a forehead situation. So it's like, maybe they feel like they might have had a distant ancestor, maybe.
It'd be great if he'd have said that. Like, I want somebody with like a similar forehead. I'd feel more comfortable.
Right. Someone who's like, who understands, you know, my hatred of hats. Like, just someone who gets it. Also, I love this season because this is when Worf's, like, he doesn't have that weird bob anymore.
Oh,
like,
I know.
Just like,
yeah.
Like, that bob situation, I was just like, who is in
They let him
makeup?
Have real Klingon hair.
That was a rough
hair.
Patch. That
yes.
Because especially then, like, other Klingons would board on the ship and they'd be like,
yeah,
and
their hair
Worf
was crazy.
Worf is just like.
Oh, the hair was giving you, like, full,
just a
like.
Quaff.
Just like a gorgeous, like you know.
Like
a
Dionne
nice,
Warwick.
Well, like a
80s.
Full, like, 18-inch, like, 20-inch, like a Remy, Indian Remy situation. Like, really just out here just shaking their bundles. Like, just giving you, like, it's like, and there's texture to it, so it's giving you an ethnic vibe. And it's like, yes, we are Klingons, and we condition this hair.
Yeah.
And mm-hmm, so mm-hmm. I just would see Worf out there with those bob, and I'm just like, ugh.
Mm-hmm. Bob just
they castrated
like,
this man.
Yeah, he looked
like
a newscaster.
Like he's only praying all the time. Like a French
nuts.
Little prayer boy.
So this guy that Deanna has, who is like sort of like stocky and little, and we don't really understand exactly what it is that they're supposed to be. I guess it's just like a learning expedition where they get to like go meet the people in the Federation and see what they do. But Deanna shows him about food.
That is delicious.
And he gets to eat a chocolate cake.
Delicious.
Ambassador? I think we're going to get along very well, shall we?
Her job is so easy.
I mean, isn't she supposed to be, like, reading his emotions the whole time anyway? Oh, come on, turn up. Take
the
whole tray.
The whole tray. But in Warp Land.
This is unacceptable. I am sorry you do not care for
bring me new food.
Ooh.
I require a higher protein and enzymatic content.
Ambassador, yes. It's the custom usually in a situation like this for us to serve ourselves. It's called a buffet.
Bring me new food.
Ambassador.
Doctor, it is all right. I am happy to bring more food.
Just... Also, I would think that in the future, buffets would not still be a thing, but...
You still gotta get it in.
But it's also like the germs, right? Like COVID.
I mean,
how
it's
so clean.
How is
your diplomatic assignment progressing?
Why is he leaning like that?
I've heard that in moments of diplomatic tension, it is often helpful to find elements of commonality.
Master Byleth is demanding, temperamental, and rude.
You share all of those qualities in abundance. Perhaps you should try to build on your similarities.
Okay, what is Data up to?
Yeah, right? I don't know. Got him. I think he microdosed that morning because, frankly, he's just like, tap, tap.
Like, are you giving us like a lower personality chip situation?
He
like,
what saunters
he just, like,
in.
He just rolled in like, hey, bud. And I was like, was Geordi not available? But but Geordi wouldn't say something like that.
No,
and Riker had already messed with him about his dress. So it was like, who can come in and
it
give
had
a...
to be.
Yes.
It's so funny because it's like Data's been learning how to be a human this whole time. So it's like weird that nobody told him like calling somebody rude is insulting.
Well, it's
like you're not supposed to do that.
It's like, but I'm just giving you the facts. Like you have all of these. Like you have all of
oh,
these.
So he's just like you.
Right.
So
you have all these
shade.
Qualities. You should be able to do this. But also, like, I just realized, like, I'm sitting here, I'm just like, it just bothers me. It's just like, it's just so, like, it, I don't want to say that it's like triggering ever, but I'm just like, some white man just yelling at a black man to just bring them more food. I'm just sitting there going, I want to fight somebody. I want to fight somebody.
I know.
And it's just so weird. And it's also, because listen, the amount of acting that Dr. Crusher had gave you in that literally 1 minute scene. Because as soon as he said it, she just grabs her chest and she's like, okay, so ambassador, what we're doing here? Because because she's not doing it for the ambassador. She's trying to stop Worf from kicking his ass is what she's trying to do. And it's just like, I don't understand our customs. Also, I think the weirdest thing for me is if this is a first contact, why wouldn't you have some of their food on this buffet as well?
Right. Like a cross-cultural, it's just cupcakes. Yeah, it's strange. It's like a Magnolia bakery spread.
Right. So if we're out here at this interracial wedding, this interspecies wedding.
Right.
Why are we only getting the groom side? Like, I want, what do they eat? Let's learn about them.
I want to know what they eat. They said they only eat for sustenance. So is it just like big blocks of tofu or something like that? I want to know.
Yeah, but also it's like.
He just gave him a rice cakes at the end. So it just seems like bland, plain chemical.
Yeah, like pellets.
Right, but also it's like, how do we know how it's like someone who's been like vegan their whole life and then eats a cheeseburger.
Right.
Like, you're gonna be in pain.
Right,
so it's
right.
like, how do
exactly.
we know they can even eat our food?
Even
yes,
if you
exactly.
eat burgers, you might get in pain. So,
I mean, not if you go to like a nice spot. but that's what I thought was so crazy. I was like, so this is a brand new species. We've never had contact with them before. And we're just like, hey, here's a bunch of our food. Hope you don't die. Like, if you
think this is like, they're going to have a lesson on diarrhea later.
Right. And it's like, okay, here, it's like Dr. Crusher's going to be pumping people's stomachs.
Dr. Like, Crusher's like getting the ready room all so prepared.
Like, listen,
we're going to have to outfit the latrines.
It's very, I was like, so you don't have any of their food. I mean, I know they came to your ship, but it's like, does everyone have spaceship technology?
Right. Well, there's a lot of moments where like their anatomy is just like assumed to be exactly the same as the anatomy of humans, which is like, obviously it's not when they're, you know, their whole, like later on the guy explains like, oh, we just like can be dead for a while and it seems like we're dead, but then we're not. And
but I can also like, tell you anything.
So this is when they crash. So Picard and Vovol are driving down to his homeworld, Vovol's homeworld. And
It's just like, I'm a little bit upset because Anna is a little bit me. That's how I like do things. That's how I like operate in the world. I'm like, I love you. But I'm on Picard.
Oh, when he meets Anna on that yes, with after they crash.
It's coming up.
Okay. So this is,
okay, here we go.
When he says you may have a concussion, I'm like, isn't he like, what's a concussion?
Gato Enterprise, do you read me?
Also, the classic trope of being on a planet with the plasma storms.
Right, always. In Seattle.
Always
land
storm.
On some Seattle planet.
Is he like Seattle over like Northern California where it's like there's nothing? It's either like Palm Springs where it's desert.
It's whether they can film in Burbank or not.
Basically. It's like, oh, we're going to Glendale.
Some energy we need
about. So he goes into this cave. And he meets this lady who's like,
oh, wait, before that, the
little boy, when he meets the little boy.
I know. That's what I was like.
I've never seen we're born full grown. I was like,
I'm sure.
So intense. Please.
How the hell does that happen?
You've been so kind.
He's like at Mardi Gras right now.
Also, this wig they have on her.
Yeah.
That looks like the apple juices that my husband drinks.
Yum.
No, I do like that she didn't drink out of a straw.
Next, we're going to deck 8, which is really interesting because it's not really...
He's, like, reusable, so it's...
Sometimes when we need an extra lab or...
These curls.
Ambassador?
Come on, Marita Sirtis. Give us this acting.
Look at this living room in the middle of, like, the...
Yeah.
Enterprise.
You gotta sit down somewhere.
Never seen it before.
It's a child.
Child?
The kid.
Children are our
His face is
the
perfect.
Best look ever.
His face young. Is perfect.
They grow into adults over a period of many years. They grow into beings like us.
Offspring.
Ambassador,
I don't like this.
I'm curious,
nope.
How does your
touching
species
him
procreate?
A little too much.
Pulsing
assessing.
And compounding. We emerge from the navel pod, fully grown.
I see.
If he checks
Do you have
his teeth,
a name?
I'm going to scream.
Eric.
Eric? Do you like dessert? May I give Eric some dessert?
That sounds like a wonderful idea.
Eric's like sick. This is like how kidnappings happen.
Uh-huh.
I have a white van. Can he get into it?
I have a white shuttlecraft. With candy. So Picard's been through the storm. He got knocked out.
He's like, Amber Alert. Somebody's...
And now there's some device around his body and he can't move. And
oh,
it shocks him when he touches it.
Ah!
The hell? Come on, Patrick Stewart. Give him that acting.
He's so amazing.
Is someone there?
Give him that Royal Shakespeare.
Who's there?
Hi.
Bubble, bubble, toil and trouble. This bitch.
What do you want?
Yeah, she's over a literal cauldron.
Who are you?
Not my mouth. I don't know you.
Yeah, that's not sanitary.
Ugh.
Great first interaction.
No, wait.
You've been
Stop. There was someone else on the shuttlecraft with me. The pilot, he's injured. He needs your help.
He's dead.
Great.
What?
Okay, well.
He's dead.
She just...
He's dead.
She's really not
I mean, this
in...
is... This show has had so many amazing, like, guest stars come in. And then just to see this girl, you're like, what the... whose niece is this?
I thought she did the misery thing well. Like, I was so glad that, spoiler alert at the end, that it wasn't a real lady who's just crazy.
Mm-hmm.
Because, like, that's so Star Trek that they would do a lady who's just like, yeah, she's just been on this planet so long that she's a crazy bitch. It's cool that they, like, manufactured a lady who is basically a siren, you know, whose, like, whole purpose is to, like, trap him there with her, you know,
I think
her love magic.
But it's like the ladies, they always get to be like, quote unquote, like love interest for Picard are never like hot. They're just like interesting. Mm-hmm. Like that lady he had the back and forth with where they had the Robin Hood episode and Q was like the sheriff of Sherwood Forest. And it's like, I can't remember that girl's name. It was some fun name, but it was just like, this girl ain't even, like, she's too much. And she is like, I mean, like, because there was like a standard they were giving us in like late 80s to early 90s of what like, Vosh, that's what it is. It's Vosh.
Vosh.
They were giving us, and I'm just like, okay, this girl must be a great actress. Because it's like, I think that I like the fact that they would just give him girls that were like interesting. They weren't just straight up like hot.
Yeah. Yeah, just art but, candy. Because
like, who was
it? They would do that a lot in the 80s. Like,
there was one that was built specifically to allure men. Like, she was like brought into the ship in her sexual prime, and Picard was like, go. And she was actually really beautiful, like a hot actress.
Oh, yeah, but she was like built for, like, she was like the sexiest of her species. And then she was, because it was like, for me, I remember watching it going, like, oh, this is the chick who runs the brothel. Like, this is the one where it's just like, oh, hello, men. But also, you're not going to have sex with me. You're not good enough. Have sex with this girl. Yeah, I remember that episode. She was gorgeous. I think Riker just kind of like passed out when he saw her.
Yeah. She's a known actress, too.
I can't remember who it was.
Her name is, it's the perfect mate. It's Famke Janssen.
Oh, yeah. From,
she did the X-Men. Oh, she came and just like, she should have like the Jessica Rabbit music. Like every time she moved, it should have been like,
a lot. And she's still, to this day, she's very hot.
Oh, yeah. She'll be on stuff and you're just like,
advanced age. Oh, my God.
Yeah, I would. Yeah, I'd crash a shuttlecraft for that girl. What are you talking about?
Absolutely.
I will turn my back on the generation. I will become a Romulan. Whatever you need me to do. Yeah. I remember her. It was like, boom, 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 boom.
She was an X-Men with Stewart. Yes.
She was a Trill. Yeah, she was a Trillian lady.
Yeah.
She was a Trill. Oh, and I think that's when we learned about like the symbiont and all of that.
I love that you're such
updo.
A fan. I'm so refreshed right now.
The updo.
Oh, thank you. Do you know what was so crazy? And I thought this was kind of weird. Like for Jadzia Dax, Michael Westmore, he would, instead of them using a stencil, he would hand paint all of her markings.
Oh my God.
Every
day. So much.
And I'm just like, God. And then like at a certain, like when you got to the bottom of her neck, he would actually like put a number on it. So it was like, this is the one I did on this show. This one I did on this show. And nobody could figure out why he just wouldn't do a stencil. Because it's like, if you have like five Trill actors in there, you're not going to spend the 4 hours that you spent on all of them.
Yeah, I think it's sort of like muscle memory, though, as you paint somebody's face over and over. You know how you like people get in a makeup rut? Mm-hmm. It's like you can get in a makeup rut where you do your same exact makeup every single day and it looks like identical. It's probably like for makeup artists, they just are like, it's just rote at this point. Like I know how to have done it so many fucking times. Like, oh, this spot goes next to her actual freckle or whatever.
But it still took like over 2 hours.
Yeah,
when
I'm
you
sure.
could have just...
She was in the chair for so long.
I mean, it was like her and Worf sitting there going, all right. Let's go. Because, like, Michael Dorn talked about it. Like, he would just see, like, the other guys, like, come in and be like, pop, 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 and he's done. He's like, I've been here since 5 a.m. What time did you get here? 9:30. Want a burrito? And you're like,
Like, George just pops on the lenses. He's like, all right. Here you go. Sorry I'm late. No big deal.
My mom said when I was a kid, I asked her, one, about Worf, why does that man have peanut butter on his forehead? And then I always thought the Geordi's visor looked like one of those like hair combs.
Mm-hmm. Yes, the banana 80s, clip.
The banana clips. And I was like, I loved it. But yeah, this girl, I mean, I'm not trying to get trapped by this girl. I don't care what planet we're on.
She's so sad.
On the shuttle, there is a lot of equipment that will have survived the crash.
Picard's being so gentle with her.
Use it.
She's like 95% there, and that 5% is
for us.
So we disturbing.
Can
leave?
Yes. Both of us. Now, if you will help me to get to the shuttle. Oh!
Don't move. It's bad.
Don't worry, I won't move.
You have 3 broken ribs. The restrictor device will hold the bones in place. Let them...
Ew. What?
Let them knit.
It's been so long since I talked to anyone. I used to talk to myself.
This is when you're on that first date and you're like, cool.
And I thought that it might mean I was crazy.
Uh-huh.
So I stopped talking.
Great.
Oh, this explains her speech pattern.
It'll be a while before you can walk.
And perhaps you could go to the shuttle and bring the equipment back here.
I can do that.
Good. Go into the cockpit. Look for a small comm panel in the instrument array. See if you can remove it. Bring it back here.
Why does she know what that is? Does everybody know how ships work?
I think her ship is, he's like, oh, she took a ship here, so she...
Maybe he's just saying, like, iPad, iPhone.
Yeah, maybe he's saying, yeah. Headphone jack.
Pager.
Put the plug, the charger in the port.
Well, yeah, because of, like, if she's on a... I mean, they're on a freight ship now. I mean, she can't get it to work again, but it's like you're still operating. Like, the ship can still... it still has, like, the... Like, the AC and the heat still work. Like, this is your habitat. So, you know enough about the controls of a ship to be able to keep yours... Your lights are on, but then there's a fire in there, so... But I guess you gotta cook, because your replicator probably doesn't work.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm trying to find, like, the place where she says, later, I love you to him.
Later, she's like, I may have some spices left laying around. No, it's like, I'm conflicted, because she's been there for 7 years, but also I'm like, what spices? That looks like a trash hole. Like, that
planet. I mean, did you bring spices? Like,
Become important, I think.
Spices are always important.
Especially, you're stranded by yourself. Anything you're cooking up there.
They are all.
So this, I think, is where she...
I'm sorry.
Okay. Yeah, she broke the thing.
I'm sorry.
She's almost hot. But it's so disturbing.
We will get out of here. It's not going to be easy, but we must work together.
I can't believe I did that.
Yeah,
you
damaged our only chance. I've waited for so long.
Why would you use a phaser to do anything?
I had hoped that I would be rescued. I kept setting up microfusion flares and looking up at the sky and waiting for someone to come and take me away. But it never happened.
Don't those flares have to go to space?
Yeah. I guess microfusion flares are space-worthy.
I mean, they're trapped in her atmosphere. No one's ever going to see them.
A precipice near here.
You haven't talked in 7 years. You said precipice?
I used to go there and stare down at the gorge and I'd think, I can just step over the edge and end it all.
He's like, I really don't have time for this.
And then I realized that it was the hope that was driving me crazy, that I had to accept I would never get out of here.
Anna, no matter how long it takes, we will get out of here.
Yay.
I knew from the moment I saw you that you were here to save me. I'll do anything you want. Just don't leave me. I don't ever want to be alone again.
Oh.
You ain't talking to Riker, ma'am. He ain't trying to get the buns that quick.
Yeah, right? Riker would be so down.
Riker would take them buns.
She'd be pregnant.
I love you.
What?
Uh-oh.
Bum, bum, bum.
I'm That's so going to be a no.
Like, if I was, Picard later is like, you're like so kind and so great.
Thank you so much for all of your help. But
you
unfortunately.
Truly are like, and she's just, I don't know. Has anyone ever said, I love you to you, like, way too early? Like,
I feel like it's like
Yeah.
There's like, I mean, people say I love you. Like, I feel like if you're stranded on a planet for 7 years and somebody comes along, I don't care who it is. I'm like, I love you. mm-hmm. you know, there's that part of it. But she didn't say it that way. She said it like, I am in love with you, sir. Yeah. Like, you and I are meant to be, which is like, how do you think that's going to work out?
Yeah.
Like, oh, how did you two meet?
Well, I crashed on a planet, I broke 3 ribs, and then she held me captive, and I knew she was the one for me.
And she just cares so much, you know? Like, most women will, you know, want to get off the planet, but she really only wanted me to stay there, and that was how I knew that it was forever.
I mean, most people would have just put a you know, they would have put me under a machine. The machine would have put my ribs back together, but no. I had to wait there and wait for my body to do it all on its own.
And he's like, I don't think you really, this is the part when he says, I don't think you really actually possibly love me, because that's cray.
I'm very grateful to you for saving my life. And I think that you are a very warm and compassionate woman.
But
and I feel a great sympathy for what you've been through.
That's warm's always the warning.
Planet. Yep.
Yeah, it's rough.
But I don't think that you can really be in love with me.
How can you say that? Of course I love you.
Don't tell me how to feel.
I'm the first person you've seen in 7 years. I'm bringing you the hope of leaving this place. Don't you think that you could possibly be just a little confused right now?
So you're not attracted to me?
I think it's a little premature. We hardly know anything about each other.
Date night.
True.
That's so funny because, like, he falls in love immediately if he's, like, hot for
yeah.
him.
Sorry if I made you uncomfortable.
He doesn't like clingy bitches.
No harm done.
You gotta have a standard.
Riker, on the other hand, would have laid it down.
Yeah. Riker would have been like, yeah, no, this is true love for the next 24 hours. And I'm gonna hit it from every angle.
Jordy would be like, okay, you're not real.
Get over to the shuttlecraft immediately.
Yeah, Jordy only falls in love with fake women.
When the guy confesses. When the guy confesses that it's actually like a ruse, he'd be like, okay, but
let's now
play,
I like
let's
her.
Play occasionally.
Wait, so you're telling me you're completely unavailable?
So she's never gonna age. Okay. Meanwhile, back on the ship, they try to play poker to ease the tension, but it doesn't work, of course. Because why did anybody think that would help ease the tension? This ship has
a competitive game.
Freighted, like, poker matches. It's just like every poker match they have, somebody always gets in an argument.
And it's usually
always
Worf
extremely
being mad.
Contentious. They're like, yeah, let's do this. Don't they have beach volleyball?
We have a whole holodeck.
Do not let my title inhibit you, Klingon.
Oh, my God.
Get him. Get him. Tell him what time it is.
I love those little, like, slaps here.
Yeah.
He started it.
Yes.
What?
Good.
Weird.
Yeah.
Just kick that man in the chest.
Look at
the
guy just
eating
dessert.
Stop, Mr. Ward. That is an order.
That's not a good hold.
Head plate versus head plate.
Wonderful.
Creepy.
Weird.
Very good. Thank
you.
You
liked it.
Lieutenant Worf, I think I understand now that was a very effective demonstration. What? If you'll excuse me, I would like to document this experience.
Okay, could Deanna Troi not read this?
Yes. I love that they're eating popcorn. They're just like, let's...
But really, Deanna Troi, like, isn't that her job? I mean, I know she's only half beta set, so she only gives you, like, half, like, she only feels, like, strong emotions. So half the time, I'm not always a fan of her. Also, Loxana Troi, shout out to Loxana Troi.
Oh, my God, the best.
Also, she's the voice of the ship because she's Gene Roddenberry's ex-wife. It's amazing.
Mm-hmm.
Major Roddenberry.
Huge.
The fact that Deanna Troi did not feel any of these intentions, that she didn't know that he was on a campaign of foolishness. I was like, why are you here?
Yes.
What were you doing?
Yeah. Normally, she'll sense from the beginning, she's like, this person says they really like sweets, but I feel like there's something else going on with their obsession.
Right. Or he's pissing off Worf on purpose. Why?
Yeah. Like, I guess, like, the guy who's experiencing pleasure through her, she can kind of, like, the in-universe explanation is like, well, he really is curious about these things, so it is all curiosity that I'm sensing. But, like, with this other guy, it's like the minute Worf starts hitting, like, stop. He's not – he doesn't actually want to fight you. He's like, he's weirdly getting off on this.
Right. It could have been like, hey, Worf, he's messing with you, which I honestly think would have just pissed Worf off more.
Yeah. So what's the point?
Okay. So I'm going to tell you some fun facts. One is the first episode in which Worf, Troy, and Beverly Crusher are seen in their dress uniforms.
All right.
This is only one of three TNG episodes that do not feature the Enterprise D bridge, and the others being Family and Dark Page. Mm. And this is the one of only five TNG episodes that doesn't have a start date, although Picard does confirm it 7 years from start date. Anna tells him that denotes the date of the crash.
Right.
So, and then one more thing. I'll tell you in a second. It's about Deanna Troi. I'm just finding the actual thing so I can read it. Oh, the story initially contained a subplot of Troy earning the rank of commander, which was later used in Thine Own Self.
Ooh. Yeah. Wait. That's, and the, so they cut that out and put it in a different episode?
Where she, like, passes the test. It's coming up.
Oh, yeah.
I'm, like, excited for
okay,
it.
Oh, okay, okay.
I'm, like...
It probably just would have been too... It probably seems like to also with all that going on, and then with Picard being off ship and all that going on, like, just giving her the rank of commander...
Yeah,
seems
yeah,
like
yeah,
something yeah. that's just like a distraction.
Right. Yeah. If for it, I would have been mad if I were her.
I know. I would have made it its own episode because it's such an important character, and they already move her powers around a lot to accommodate bad writing. So like, or plot holes or whatever. So I would want for it to happen the way it happened, which is like, give me a fucking episode where I can like, turn into a commander bitch. Like,
it's a huge deal for me.
Making me like a little princess that disappears conveniently for the first four episodes, seasons. So, yeah.
So this is the point where Picard actually figures it out.
Don't care.
So she's about to jump off the precipice.
I'll jump.
You know that someone with that length of skirt has some kind of mental something.
Yep.
Well, he realizes that when the jig is up because they get an altercation and her necklace breaks.
Right. Yeah.
And then now the necklace is back. And I was like, wait a minute. We broke this necklace. How around her neck?
That's so – he's such a good detective. But, yeah, to Veronica's point, an ankle-length skirt is always a red flag.
Your leg, it's too modest. And people who use that word are – usually I'm like homeschooled.
Yes, there's something's going on.
Some branch of Christian that I'm like, okay.
I mean, you don't know who her people were. And honestly, after the original series, you don't see anybody in a short skirt.
Yeah, I'm just saying, like in real life, Dulce, are you not a little bit like, that skirt's too weird of a length for me?
Well, remember like-
a little bit mistrustful.
Well, no, because for the time period, a lot of the skirts were that weird in between length. Mm-hmm. Where you're just like, can I wear an ankle boot with this? How high do my boots?
Yeah.
I'm going to wear a flat. I don't know what to do with this.
It's a it's like a fashion problem that denotes like a bigger problem. It's what I'm saying.
Bigger problem in society. Society's grappling with its own misogyny over that skirt length.
I know.
All coming to play.
That it was problematic every time I wore one of those.
I never thought about it.
I don't wear skirts a lot. Because it feels like it's like half a dress. You know what I mean? Why not just have the dress?
I know.
That's kind of my
context
philosophy.
Is I dated someone who was homeschooled from Tennessee. So that was sad. And I think that's how I was expected to dress around his parents.
You've never met his parents.
I did. Oh, yeah.
You did?
I did. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Oh my God. What did they think of you?
It was so funny because he was like, if you could try to dress modest for them, please. And I was like.
Oh, my God.
I kind of did, but also like not at all. And then at his cousin's wedding, we were like decorating the car for like the wedding stuff. And his dad, who's a pastor, was like behind us.
Oof.
So,
I don't like a
all
pastor
white people,
behind
by
me.
The way. So, he's behind us, and then a gust of wind just like lifts my skirt all the way up, and I'm wearing thongs, and like, you know, I'm Latina. I have like my, I'm just like ready to like show my butt anywhere, and not like Latinas do it, but I am that person. And I turn around because I lower my skirt like, oh fuck, and then I turn around, and his dad was like,
these were Mormons.
No, not Mormons.
No, what were they?
It's like, a different branch. It's like a little sect of Christ.
Mennonite?
It's called the Church of Christ.
Mm, okay. Mormon adjacent. Well.
Yeah. There's many of those in the States. They're like tiny Christian, like, pockets.
Mm, of tiny Christian pockets.
Homeschool modesty. Mm. I didn't know about him until I moved here, and then it happened.
You've been manipulating me, haven't you?
He just figured this out. Saying?
The necklace. It broke. I saw it in the cargo crate on the floor by the fire. I left it there. Now it's around your neck. It's whole. How?
She's crafty.
Tell me you love me.
Love me.
I must know.
Where's Vauxbile? Isn't it convenient that he arrived moments after you left? That he insisted that I come here to look for you? That I find you here on the ledge, ready to jump? That's very good timing, don't you think?
The delivery of that line. Timing!
Working together. He's the only one who could have brought you the necklace.
Tell me about your love, or I'll jump.
Go ahead. Why don't you do it? It's a long way down. Must be 200 meters. You'd die instantly, if that's what you want. But I don't think that it really is.
I do love how the background changes. You can tell it's a special
Vauxbile.
I have failed. Failed? Vauxbile, what is going on?
My name is Ambassador Vauxbile.
Ambassador?
Oh, excuse me.
My mission was to study human intimacy, specifically the concept you call love. In our study of your culture, we did not understand certain concepts. So we sent three representatives to study them, to experience them.
But why did you believe that bringing me here would give you a better understanding of love?
Several years ago, we discovered the remains of the Trellian freighter on this planet. The ship contained logs written by a single survivor, a human woman. That was our first contact with human culture. The woman lived alone here for 7 years until another human crashed on this planet, a human male.
And the man was injured. She nursed him back to health, and they fell in love.
In the log, she described many concepts we found difficult to understand. Pleasure, antagonism, love. These were alien to us. We wished to experience them for ourselves. Ambassador Loquel was sent to experience pleasure. Byleth was sent to experience antagonism. And I was sent to experience love. Was this wrong?
Let me just say that we would not take such a direct approach. Mm-hmm. Ambassador, I have to tell you that in my culture, what you have done would be considered a crime.
Crime?
Oh, Jesus.
Come on.
Well.
He's like, we have to rob a bank now.
We'll talk about it later. For now, I think we should get off this planet. Am I right in assuming that the damage to the shuttle is not as bad as it seems?
That is correct. We can leave at any time.
I think that now will be quite nice.
So that's just it.
But
everything's
fine. But what if Picard did fall in love with her?
Exactly.
And then you find out it's Vauxbile.
Yeah.
A worse crime. A crime of the heart.
Right, because that was the goal. And they're like, so then does Vauxbile just have to stop keep living as this lady?
Also, Vauxbile sounds like vulva, which is like very
I'm saying it crazy. I think it's Vauxbile. Yeah, it's even crazier then. But it's like, I just don't understand, like, if your experiment was successful.
Right.
And he did fall in love with you, then you have to go, hey, I'm actually this alien. I'm Ambassador of Vauxbile. Thanks for falling in love with me. Now we understand love. And it's like, you bastard.
Yeah. That would be the ultimate. And they shouldn't have chosen, well, they should have chosen Riker.
They should have chosen Riker. You should have done your research.
Exactly.
I think it's more interesting that they showed Picard other than because if they would have chosen Riker, we would have all expected Riker to be Riker.
Yeah.
And then it's like Volvo has to go, oh man, I did not. We don't know what the parts are. So this would have not worked out great because Riker's trying to be Riker and he's like, what? It's a Barbie doll down here. What are we doing? What happened?
Also, I can see Riker being like, well, I'm already in love with you.
Yeah. Riker would be like, I mean, we could fuck as Vival.
Yeah. He could be like flexible.
Listen, they go to Risa and everything's fine.
Yeah. Trust me. Somebody pointed out, our last guest pointed out that like Risa is the planet that he was supposed to get married to Deanna Troi before he took the position on the Enterprise. Like when he was stranded on Kotemkin, he was supposed to meet Deanna at Risa and they were going to get married there. And it's funny that that never happened, but then he still keeps going to the wedding planet all the time.
Well, it's the pleasure like, planet. So it's like, it's just like the Vegas of space is what Risa seems.
Yeah, I guess that's true, but I feel like it holds special meaning. And Deanna's like, hey, could you stop going to our wedding site? Like, and hanging out all the time.
What is the object they have in Risa? The Horrigan.
Well, and then that where Riker got that crazy game from where you had to put like the disc in the funnel and then everyone just gets like hypnotized.
It gives you an orgasm.
Yeah, Risa is like just straight up trouble. Let's face it.
It's space Vegas. You
Vegas.
Go there, you get married, you might cheat on your significant other.
But what happens on Risa?
Stays on Risa, but in the ship's log.
Also in the ship's log. Well, that was the end. Basically, he's like, sorry we kidnapped you. We just needed to learn about crushes and stuff. And now we know what chocolate is, which is great. And one of us got in a fight. So now they just have to like have these people in the Federation and they're like, yeah, they're kind of, just be really careful.
Just don't go anywhere with them. Like, that's all I'm saying.
Never follow a Volval to a second location.
Like, never go anywhere with the Iyarians. Never play poker with them and never give them chocolate or they turn into monsters.
And don't leave them with your kids. Just don't. It might not be a good idea.
This might be a lot for the poor kid.
Eric, meanwhile, is like just gorging himself on ice cream, like Torellian ice cream sundaes and shit.
And his mother's like, well, you know, it's for the prime directive. So, yeah, have another sundae, Eric.
Well, Dulce, it's been so good having you with us. And we're so excited to listen to your podcast.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah. Is there anything you'd like to plug besides the stuff I said, or if you want to just talk about anything you've heard or said recently, songs you like?
I am. There's a show on E! Called 10 Things You Don't Know About Your Favorite Celebrities, and I'm doing the voiceover for that. So if you hear me talking about things you didn't know about Kevin Hart or Tiffany Haddish or Robert Downey Jr., that's your girl. Also, I'm doing this cartoon called The Great North that's on Fox. That's going to be coming out next year.
Oh, amazing. Animated, right?
Yeah, animated show. So look out for that.
All right. Awesome. On Fox. Well, Dulce, we're so excited for you. And that show sounds amazing. And we're so excited for your podcast. Thanks for being with us today.
Thank you for having me. I'm so glad to be able to talk about Star Trek with people who don't look at me like I'm ridiculous.
And the next con... you're coming with.
It's weird to try to talk about it in real life, and sometimes I just want to, and no one is down, so.
Yeah.
Yes.
Next con we hit.
It's going to be wild. It's going to be post-COVID con. Everybody's going to be losing their minds.
Luxana. Sorry.
Okay. You can call Luxana.
The three of us could be four Luxanas.
The different iterations, for sure. There's many episodes.
I'm gonna be Bilal's sister, Kaiwin, and then Moogie. If I could figure out how to do Ferengi makeup, I would definitely want to be Moogie, which is Quark's mom.
Oh, yeah. Well, Yeah, I mean, really I'm good. Sure there's a YouTube video out there, a tutorial for it. So,
you just put your styrofoam balls on your head, put them underneath pantyhose, cover them with latex. Boom, you're out here.
Bunch of hairspray.
Several glue sticks.
Yes. You got a baby's butt on your forehead.
All right, Dulce, have a good day. Thanks for being here.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you for being here.
Thank you. Bye.
Bye.
Forever.
This has been a Forever Dog production, executive produced by Brett Boehm, Joe Cilio, and Alex Ramsey. To listen to this podcast ad-free, sign up for Forever Dog Plus at foreverdogpodcasts.com/plus. Check out video clips of our podcasts on YouTube at youtube.com/foreverdogteam. And make sure to follow us on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook at Forever Dog Team to keep up with all of the latest Forever Dog news.